Welcome to Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of your life. This program is brought to you by Hidden with Christ Ministries of Tustin, California. Now, here's Rita with Keys to Victorious Christian Living.
Hello, friends. This week we have been studying some of the names of God that are revealed in Scripture. Today I want to talk to you about the Hebrew name Jehovah Shammah. The name Jehovah Shammah is found in the very last verse in the very last chapter of the book of Ezekiel. The name Jehovah Shammah means the Lord is there. We live in a time when many people are saying, well, where is God in the midst of all the tragedy and difficulties and crime and increase in wickedness that is coming upon the earth? And yet this is a day when you need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Lord is there, Jehovah Shammah. When Ezekiel wrote these words and had this revelation of the name of God, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there, he was writing it during a time of Israel's history that was at one of its lowest ebbs. Israel was in captivity in Babylon when Ezekiel uttered the prophecy that's contained in chapter 48 of Ezekiel. Ezekiel was prophesying of the restoration of Israel, of the city of Jerusalem. And he said about that city that from that day the city shall be called Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. And yet when he was giving this prophecy, it didn't look like God was anywhere close to them. And yet the reality is, was then and is now for you and I, is that the Lord is there. The Lord is here with us. Jehovah Shammah. In order to have the benefits of God's closeness, we need to embrace the truth of what he says about himself, that he is there, he is with us, even when things look their blackest. The Lord was with Israel, even in this place of their captivity and bondage. He was preparing to bring them back to victory and restoration, safety and blessing. Do you know that Jehovah Shammah, the Lord, is there for you? It's important that you know that, because the perilous times that we're in today require a revelation of God's presence. He wants to do for you the things he's promised in his word, but you need to be confident that Jehovah Shammah, the Lord, is there. I want to share with you today a story that was written by the editors of Religion Today and was found in crosswalk.com. And it's a testimony of God's hand of protection in the middle of tragedy, and truly, I think, an excellent illustration of Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there, and of a man who believed that the Lord was there and could get him out of even the worst tragedy that has fallen upon the United States in recent history. The testimony begins this way. Tuesday, September 11th, 2001, began like any other day for Bethel Assembly of God Deacon and Sunday School Superintendent Stanley Premnath of Elmont, Long Island. He got up early, took a shower, prayed, got ready, and headed for work. The drive was uneventful. The train ride was the same. Yet this day he would see the hand of God spare his very life. For some particular reason, I gave the Lord a little extra of myself that morning in prayer, Stanley said. I said, Lord, cover me and all my loved ones under your precious blood. When Stanley arrived at World Trade Center Tower 2, he took the elevator up to his office on the 81st floor. I work for Fuji Bank Limited, he said. I'm an assistant vice president in the loan operations department. The company is located on the 79th through the 82nd floors. Stanley greeted Delise, a woman who had arrived before him. After talking briefly, he headed to his desk, picked up his phone to retrieve his messages. As I'm standing there, retrieving my messages, I'm looking out at the next building, One World Trade, and I saw fire falling through from the roof, Stanley said. Now this entire building is surrounded by glass, and you can stand up, and from there you can see all the buildings, planes and everything flying at the same altitude. As Stanley saw fireballs coming down, his first reaction was to think of his boss who works in that building. He decided to try to call him to see if he was okay. I'm dialing his number and getting no response. So I said to Delise, "Go, go, go, let's get out." Delise and Stanley got on the elevator and went down to the 78th floor. Some other people were there. The company's president, the CEO, the human resources director, and two other men joined the group and headed down to the concourse level of 2 World Trade Center. If they had continued on and exited the building, all of their lives would have been spared. As it was, that's not the way it happened. As soon as we reached the concourse level, the security guard stopped us and said, "Where are you going?" Stanley explained about seeing the fire in Tower 1. According to Stanley, the guard said, "Oh, that was just an accident. 2 World Trade is secure. Go back to your office." That turned out to be fatal advice. Aside from Stanley, Delise was the only one of that group to survive. We were joking, and I told the human resources director, "This is a good time to think of relocating this building. It's not safe anymore." Stanley headed back to his office, but before he got there, he told Delise that with the events of the day, she should go home and relax. Thompson went to the 82nd floor, the president and CEO went to the 79th, and Stanley got out on the 81st floor. When Stanley got to his office, his phone was ringing. It was someone from Chicago calling to find out if I was watching the news. He told the caller everything was fine, but everything wasn't fine, and far from it. As Stanley was talking, he looked up and he saw United Airlines Flight 175 heading straight for him. "All I can see is this big gray plane with red letters on the wing and on the tail bearing down on me," said Stanley. "But this thing is happening in slow motion. The plane appeared to be like 100 yards away. I said, 'Lord, you take control. I cannot help myself here.'" Stanley dove under his desk. "My Bible was on top of my desk," explained Stanley. "I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Lord was going to take care of me once I got there." As he curled into a fetal position under his desk, the plane tore into the side of the building and exploded. Miraculously, Stanley was unhurt. However, he could see a flaming wing of the plane in the doorway of his department. He knew he needed to get out of the office and the building fast, but he was trapped under debris up to his shoulders. "Lord, you take control. This is your problem now," he recalled praying. "I don't know where I got this power from, but the Lord, he gave me so much power and strength in my body that I was able to shake everything off. I felt like I was the strongest man alive." All the while, Stanley was asking the Lord to spare his life. "I'm crying and I'm praying, 'Lord, I have things to do. I want to see my family, Lord, help me.'" Stanley's office resembled a battle zone. Walls flattened, office equipment strewn violently, flames flickering about and rubble everywhere. "Everything I'm trying to climb on is collapsing and I'm going down. I'm getting cuts and bruises, but I'm saying, 'Lord, I have to go home to my loved ones. I have to make it. You have to help me.'" Suddenly, Stanley saw the light of a flashlight. For a moment, it stunned him. What were the chances of someone bringing a flashlight to this floor? He thought. "My first gut reaction was, this is my guardian angel. The Lord sent someone to save me." Stanley began screaming, "I see the light, I see the light." But after clawing through the debris, he realized he couldn't get out. All the exits were blocked and his guardian angel couldn't get to him. A wall was between him and the staircase. "He can't get to me and I can't get to him. And by this time, I can't breathe," Stanley said. "I don't know if it was sulfur or burning jet fuel, but I could smell this thing. I got down on my knees and I said, 'Lord, you've got to help me. You've got to help me get to the staircase.'" Then Stanley did something surprising. While praying on his knees, he called out to the man behind the wall. "There's one thing I've got to know. Do you know Jesus?" The man replied he went to church every Sunday. Then they prayed together to enable them to break through the wall. "I got up and I feel as if power came over me. I felt goosebumps all over my body and I'm trembling. And I said to the wall, 'You are going to be no match for me and my Lord.'" Moments later, he punched his way through the wall and said with the help of the man on the other side, he was able to squirm his way through the hole in the wall. "This guy held me and embraced me, gave me a kiss and said, 'From today, you are my brother for life.'" But the danger wasn't over. The man on the other side of the wall, who introduced himself as Brian, was an older man and still had 81 floors to walk down, with the building on fire and unknown to them, in danger of collapse. We hobbled our way down, and at every floor we stopped to see if anybody was there. But nobody was, except a man on the floor. His back was gone, and he was covered in blood. Stanley asked to be allowed to carry the man out, but a security guard told him it would be better to send someone up. When they finally made it down to the concourse, only the firefighters were there. They were saying, "Run, run, run." They were telling us to run out, but they were not concerned about themselves. Stanley and Brian would have to run from the building, but now the concourse was surrounded with fire. Wetting themselves down under the building's sprinkler system, they held hands and ran through the flames to safety at Trinity Church, about two blocks away. "I wanted to go to the church to thank God," Stanley explained. "As soon as I held on to the gate of that church, the World Trade Center Tower 2 collapsed." Stanley and Brian made their way safely out of the danger area. Cut and bloodied, with clothes tattered and wearing a borrowed shirt, Stanley finally made it home hours later to his wife and his two girls. "I held my wife and my two children and we cried." After thanking God for sparing his life, Stanley told God whatever he did, it would always be for his glory. "I said, 'Lord, you had not been in control, I would not have made it.' For some divine reason, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the good Lord's mighty hand turned a plane a fraction from where I was standing, because when it crash landed, it was 20 feet from me." Stanley experienced the literal presence of Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. You can count on today, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there for your life. No matter what you face from this moment forward, make the decision that you are going to acknowledge and trust in and believe that God is there for you. That is the cry of God's heart to us, that we would know that He truly is Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is there.
Thanks for joining us today for Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. If you would like to support this ministry, please write to us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. That's P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. Visit our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com, where you may order tapes or submit a prayer request. Or call us at toll-free 1-866-HE-HEALS. Again, thanks for joining us for Keys to Victorious Christian Living.